I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd only be too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His wind is love. He's guiding me through temptations and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all fear. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. Oh, Herr Jesus, du bist wahr, das man dich mit Staunen nahm, das man dich beständig lobt und ehrt. Niemand ist so gut wie du, meine Seele aus dir zu, meine Seele aus dir freudig zu. Von der Erde reißt mich los, mache meinen Glauben groß, gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm mich ganz mein Jesus hin. Deine Hand hat mich gemacht, wunderbar ans Licht gebracht, wunderbar ans helle Licht gebracht. Und dein Blut hat mich erlegt, dass ich ewig sei getrost, dass ich nun auch ewig sei getrost. Von der Erde reiß mich los, my nangala ubangaro, gave me an eye and try and sin, name me guns, mine yeas is in. Who'll drive blick as do me on, sax me a dazzy come and come, sax me a dazzy so dear come and come. Und du der Sinden schuld, nicht gedenk nach deiner Huld, nicht gedenk nach deiner Gnaden Huld. Von der Erde reiß mich los, mache meinen Glauben groß, gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nehm mich ganz mein Jesus hin. I'm gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt, he will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt, he will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt, he will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I mean.
Speak to the mountain,
triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you'll claim victory.
Speak to
the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, be removed into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you shall claim victory. Speak to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you will claim victory. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. It's all about Jesus. If you're not willing, if you're not willing to be identified with the reproach of Christ, then you're just playing a game, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the last frontier. That's the last thing to overcome. We all have that problem. We all, before we can come to that place, it, we're not ashamed of Christ, you know? And until then, you're just playing the game. Mm-hmm. I'm talking from experience. I was in there too. I guess it's pretty much the last frontier. If you're not ashamed to be identified with Sam and Lorraine, then you've overcome. Because there's always people, and the Lord of every generation has a person, has some people, that rock, you know, mm-hmm. that stone that the builders rejected back in the days of Jesus. Jesus was that. He was that rock of offense, you know. People were offended at him. They didn't want to be identified with the reproach of Christ. And here this generation throughout the Hutterite Nation, it's a reproach of Christ to be identified with Sam and Lorraine, what they have to say. Because mm-hmm. they even give orders, you can't talk to these people. That's the nature of the beast, you know. But they tell people the truth, they'll run you out of town. They'll make sure that you done rape, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the chapter that you and I are on. You know, when they see us, they automatically their whole demeanor goes into a mocking thing, a smirk, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way the Lord has honed us out to be. We're that stone that the builders rejected. We're that thing that's the reproach of Christ. Back in the days of John the Baptist, and Jesus was that reproach. And Jesus said to John the Baptist, he told him, "Blessed is he that's not offended in me." And that's just the way it is. And you gotta accept it and live with it, and that's what you and I have been honed out to do. To bear the reproach of Christ simply because we tell people the truth. That's our mission. Tell people the truth the day and hour that we're living in. Just that simple. And we've learned to live with it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just throw that in there. And I get a little scripture here. While men slept. Wild men slept, you know, that's the problem. I was asleep back prior to the 90s. The Lord saved me when I was back in 1971, and there for 4 or 5 years, I had a great time with the Lord. And then I began to live in a backslid state for a long time, for 10 years, and then in the early 90s, the Lord woke me up, really. My whole world came caving in. And I realized how far I've been straight from the Lord. And I tried to pray, couldn't even pray. Everything began to happen. I got my finger cut in a hitch, and then my foot got chopped off, and I went after my children. And all of a sudden I realized I'm asleep, you know. Mm-hmm. Sleeped at the wheel. Drunk with that wine of that religious fornication. That's what the humanity has become. When you read back in Revelation, the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk with the wine of that fornication. And they're asleep while men slept. And then I was right in there with it. I was just as dumb as everybody, living high in the hog, to the point where I even developed cancer. And I had cancer, and then health issues to the, but he had me take me to the wheelchair to get me into the emergency. And then the Lord, rich in mercy, recovered it all. And I'm better than I ever was prior to the living high in the hog thing, you know. And we're all guilty of that, but I'm not making any excuses. It's just by the grace of God that he happened to wake me up while men slept. And I was asleep no more. I've been awake ever since. And that's why the Lord eventually put us on this course. And that's what we're doing here. We're warning people about what's coming. The doom and gloom thing that's coming. Nobody wants to hear the truth. That's why that Hutterite thing evicted me. I told them the truth. I still got the letter that I sent them. Because back in, when the Lord saved me, he let me know my commission. Sam, I've set you as a watchman over that Hutterite nation. And if you're going to go after tell them things, I'll show you things that you have to go tell them. And ever since the 90s, that's what we've been doing. Tell them the truth. Tell them the things that they need to hear. Told them that they're corrupt. They're not of God. I don't care how much you paint it up. Them Hutterite preachers, they're not of God, because the proof is in the pudding. When somebody gets cancer or something, the Bible says, in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Well, when people come through here, they get cured from cancer. I told that, I sent that Joe from Broad Valley. I sent him a book about how the Lord cured me from cancer. And I thought he'll come by here and he'll pray over him and he'll be cured from cancer. But next thing I heard, he died because he didn't take that advice, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do here. Like, see, in my name they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name they'll cast out devil. This guy came through here and he had a devil to cast the devil out. That's the proof is in the pudding. That's why we're of God. We're not like these preachers. When somebody has cancer, they bury him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to prove they're not of God. They're just a bunch of fraudsters. They're not real. They just as well just go feed pigs or go back to tending to their bees and things of that nature. Because that's just the way it is. We're just exposing him for who they are. Anyway, we want to just kind of sweep the floor with that message. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. If you really believe, that's exactly what you're going to be doing. And like we can say it, if you can get yourself to believe the message for your day, you will do the same thing that the early church did. You'll cast out devils, you'll lay hand on the sick. And that's exactly part of that package. If you can get yourself to believe, out of your belly will come flowing rivers of living water, and then you'll begin to understand what we've been trying to say for the last 30 years. You'll be one with us, and just the way it is. But the problem is, while men slept, God has to wake you up, because the God of this world has blinded the people that the glorious light of the gospel cannot shine through. We're having ourselves a glorious time. Every day, all day long, we're just bathing ourselves in the majesty of God. Because we're interconnected to that Laodicea Church Age Messenger, which is Brother Brenham. About, like I said before, I really wouldn't want to live without having known the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, because they're in his life. That's where the substance is. And we're just trying to tell people where it's at. But it's not a very popular subject to the flesh. Mm-hmm. You've got to be willing to fast if need be. Fast for 30, 40 days until you kind of become, get out of that slumber, get out of that sleeping mode.
Like, how can you actually have victory over the enemy when you don't even know who the enemy is? Like, when you will follow the channels of God, the righteousness for your day and hour, Brother Brenham, he exposed the denominational world church out there and what they're about. See, they're the enemy, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the channel of God and have been under that righteousness for your day and hour, you're really asleep. Just like those foolish virgins, they were asleep and they were so consumed with the things of this world and with this charismatic church world out there that they forgot to put oil in their lamps. And when it came time to meet the bridegroom, they did not have oil in their lamps. So why? It's because they had other priorities in life. They were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then you can see it in many ways. Like I was thinking yesterday about Moses. When he was up on that, the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. And when his hands were up, they were winning. Israel was winning against the Amalekites. But he grew weary and he let down his hands, and then the Amalekites took over. So they had to think up a strategy, and they went up, Aaron and Hur, and went up and held up Moses' hands so that they would win the fight. So you have to do everything you possibly can to win the battle, especially in the Laodicea church age, because there are so many things against you. You have rich in need of nothing. You have the gray horse rider. You have the charismatic spirit that's out there. You have this nominal Christianity out there. You have materialism galore. You have all these things. The God of this evil age, the perilous times, all these things that are out there that are pressing in and wearing you down. That's why you have to do everything you can to stay sensitive and to be sober and vigilant so that the cares of this world do not overtake you and you become unaware of the day and hour you're living in. Because if you don't know the day and hour you're living in, it's just going to overtake you. And you're just going to be swept away, just like that flood that came in the days of Noah. It swept all those people away because they had no idea what was coming. And Noah did. And the same way within in the time of Jesus, they were asleep. They were too busy with their traditions, with their religious rituals, that they were not aware of the day of their visitation, that the Messiah is here. They could not perceive it. And they were swept away in the siege of Jerusalem. And these things are written for our admonitions. They're in the Word of God to show us something that we need to be prepared for the hour and the time we're living in. If we are not, then we are going to be swept away with that wrath of God that's coming. Because there's going to be the wrath of God poured out for 30 days on wicked mankind. And if we're not prepared for that day, we're going to be amongst that number. And you can't think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be exempt. What makes you special that you're going to be exempt? Because we have to prepare for the evil day that's coming. The Bible speaks of it, that evil day, if it comes, to be prepared for it. Because if you're not prepared, it's going to sweep us away.
That's why we have we don't have too many followers. Mm-hmm. We don't have too many. You think they'd be lined up from here to Chicago, mm-hmm, wanting truth, but it's not a very popular message. And sometimes, like you were saying, sometimes people are asleep, and sometimes you just got to put every effort in to pray your way out of this dilemma, or this lukewarmness, like Laodicea is. Laodicea, the church world out there is blind, they're wretched, they're miserable, they're poor, and they're naked. They're everything, and then it comes down to say, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And that's what you and I did. The Lord, rich in mercy, he brought us to the ministry of the Brother Branham and Brother Jay, so we can dress ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's that gold that he's talking about, that we would dress ourselves and that we stand not naked before him. That's been our song and dance ever since the Lord woke me up, saying, I'm coming soon. Something happened. I lost interest in the things of this world, and I began to set my face as a flint towards the things of towards the heavenlies. It didn't happen overnight. It was a slow process because I had to get myself untangled from that Hutterite lifestyle. I began to see what it's about. Because like I told you yesterday, we had a man come to our house and told us about the butchery and the deception and that Hutterite system. It's not of God. It's just a tradition. It's just a religion. And what it is, it's first-class communism on steroids. Mm-hmm. Because the people there, they're not even born again. They have no interest in being born again. They're just blind as a bat, living high in the hog like I was there for about 10 years. And when the Lord saved me in 71, and then for about 5 years, I was talking with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. He helped me and he gave me advice, and then eventually, slowly, bit by bit, I thought I could win my siblings to the Lord. And then I couldn't get nowhere. They didn't want to be saved. And then I figured, well, maybe if I join them, I can save them. And that was the biggest mistake in my life. I figured if I joined my brother John and he's living high in the hog, that's where I can save him. But guess what? 10 years later, I ended up in the gutter, the same gutter he's in, and got cancer and got from living high in the hog. You can win anybody by joining it. The only way you can do is distance yourself, because believe you me, you're no match against the devil and against the spirit of the age, because what's going to happen, you're going to be dragged right down into their gutter. And that's what I see. That's what happened to me back in the 80s and so on, until the Lord got a hold of me. Come on, Sam, wake up. He woke me up, simply because by breaking my foot, by cutting out my finger, and by different things that came against me, all of a sudden my whole world came paving in. And all the Lord was doing, all he was doing, he was waking me up from my slumber. And then he put me on these cars, and it's been a good journey. Yeah, and there's all kinds of trials and tribulations, but it was worth the trip. And now we're standing on the mountain. Looking back, I can see what the Lord, what his great hand has done with me. He's led me to the truth of the day. He led me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. He's allowed me to dress myself with that nakedness, and so I don't stand naked before him. And here we are, trying to help whoever wants help. It's for whosoever will. That's why the Lord gave us that commission. Who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had found faithful and wise to deliver meat in due season? When Brother Jackson went off the scene, I've said it over and over again, each one of us were being tested. We didn't know. We just had one commission. We're going to stay with that word. We don't care. If somebody tells you you're in the third day and it's not true, well, we'll just separate ourselves from these kind of people, from this kind of teaching. And here we are, just the two of us, two long pilgrims, just trying at a level of best to keep our head above the water, spiritually speaking, and to deliver a truth to a lost and dying world. And eventually it'll pay off, and that's been our commission. And if you can only get yourself to believe what we're seeing here, because this here chapter is that meat and due season for the day and hour which we're living in. It's that living water that God has given us the privilege and has given us the responsibility to roll it out there. It's not our living water, it's his living water. And if you can only get yourself to believe what we're saying, you will end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's the only thing that's happening now. That's out in the atmosphere. That's out in the and the world about us, that right now is that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because the Lord, rich and merciful, he doesn't want nobody to go to hell. He doesn't want nobody to have to come through that the day of the Lord, because it's coming, it's unstoppable. And here's one a way of escape, whosoever will. Don't even consider that you're not worthy or anything. Just believe what we're telling you here, and you'll end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's, like I say, that's the only thing that's left. If you miss that, guess what happens? Up the road, there's coming the Gullaton. Get up the road, there's coming that scripture is going to be activated. If you reject the invitation in the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's a scripture that's going to be activated. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. You're going to be butchered, you're going to be slaughtered. And it talks about in Revelation, before that tribulation, that sea of glass, there was nobody on there. But after the tribulation, that sea of glass was full. And that's what's just up the road here. If you reject the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, then you'll be found wanting. And it's gonna happen exactly like it says over in Matthew 22. You should maybe read it, because if you don't have scripture, you're just out there beating your gums together. Or what were you looking for?
And Jesus, Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by a parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.
That's what's on right now, that invitation. At the end of the day, it's going to happen exactly. Just up the road is the day of the Lord. He's going to go in, and he's going to burn down their cities on the day of the Lord. It's just a process that God beckoned, that great council that he had with himself. In Ephesians 1, he made a council, he made a blueprint, and we're going to bump right into it. There's no way of escape. You can ignore us. You can ignore everything we're saying, but at the end of the day, you're going to bump right into the day of the Lord. You're going to bump right into everything that we've been saying here. You're going to bump right into the tribulation hour. America's going to bump right into George Washington's vision. In fact, it's already begun. If you look on the news, you'll already see what's going on down in Portland. How the forces of evil and the forces of law and order are clashing, are bumping their heads against each other. That's what you see. It's already beginning to develop. And over in Israel, you'll see what's going on in Israel, because there's a scripture there that God's going to give Israel their land back. They got to build their temple. That's all in the process. That's what's happening right in front of our very eyes. And here, the Lord, rich in mercy, has prepared you so that we can deliver a way of escape, deliver that meat in due season, deliver that living water, and whosoever will, let them come and take of the waters of life freely. No strings attached. That baptism thing, you don't even have to get baptized anymore, because that baptism thing is over. The grace age is over. We're living now in the week of Daniel, and in that first part of that week of Daniel is that invitation to the marriage supper of Lamb. That's the only place you could put it in the scripture. It says, Matthew 22, it's going to happen exactly what the Bible says it will. See, the Bible was written, that blueprint was written before the foundation of the world. We just happen to read it. We just happen to find out where we are in time, because back in the 90s, the Lord woke us up and he put us on a journey that we have no control over. And of course he cost us everything. Of course we put into exile. Of course we were hated. Of course they took everything away from us. But that's just the nature of the beast. That's just what the Bible says. That's what they're going to do to you. If you're really a truly a believer, then that's what they'll do to you. And I think, like I said earlier, the key here is not to be ashamed, not to be afraid to be identified with the reproach of Christ, just like Moses. He was rather be identified with these people down at his mud pit than enjoy the glories of Egypt, because Egypt was the world power at that time, and he denied all that, and he would rather be identified with the reproach of Christ. That's what it was back in that day, to be identified with these Israelites. And he chose rather to be identified with them, and you know the story of Moses, you know. And that's what you and I are about. We're not ashamed of the reproach of Christ. In fact, we invite it in our lives. Therein is all the all the wealth of Egypt, more than the wealth of Egypt, is in that scripture, not to be ashamed of the reproach of Christ. They want to be identified with these losers, that they look down on us, and to be identified with us. But that's the problem. People don't want to be identified with us, but it is. It's not us. It's really the reproach of Christ. Because all we're doing, we're telling people the truth. That's what God has wanted us to do. Tell people the truth, and what they do with it, that's their business.
See, I believe that call for the Jews were first called to that marriage supper. They were the ones that were, the gospel was for the Jews, mm-hmm. what Paul had said. They were called, but they rejected it. And then Jesus, it says here, burned up their cities. And that's what happened at the destruction of Jerusalem. There was a destruction there because what they did in 33 AD, they rejected. They did not know their hour of visitation, and therefore their cities were burned down. And then God went over to the Gentiles and called out a people from the Gentiles. And Brother Branham often said, you see, America rejected the message for their day, the prophet, and the message for their hour. And they and then he always said, because of that rejection, America made a decision to go a certain route. They rejected God's message and went a charismatic pathway, just like when Lot was down there, and those two angels went down to pull Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, that's the Christian church world out there. Like there's people that are up on the mountain, like Abraham was up in the mountain. He didn't have to be part of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Christian world, they're part of that structure, just like Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and those two angels came to pull him out of there, out of that destruction. In the end, those Christians, their soul will be saved. Mm-hmm. They'll have their salvation, but they'll have no reward in nothing because of they did not meet the requirements to go on and be up on the mountain and accept the message for the day and hour, to be paired with that garment that is needed, that righteousness for the day and hour. See, the church world rejected it. And that's why they're in the position that they're in. But judgment is coming to America, just like it came to the Jewish people when they rejected Jesus. Judgment is coming to America, and you can see it playing out. Things are waxing worse and worse in America. The environment in America is very unstable. When you will look at it in the spirit, it's a very unstable environment.
Yeah, we just happen to be in the time that God has wanted us out to be born at a certain time in history, and here we are. Just all our job is to roll out that living water and to tell people where it's at, because we know the hour and time we're living in, and the only place you're going to hear exactly right to the day where we are in time, because if you do not know where you are in time, then everything that we say is just gibberish. But we told you over and over and over again, 1963, February the 28th, when that big cloud was up in the Arizona desert, up in the sky beyond space, and there was this day when that midnight cry was. Behold, at midnight there was a cry, go ye out, behold the bridegroom mm-hmm. coming, go ye out to meet him. And that it woke us up. When we heard about Brother Brennan, it kind of woke and shook us up, and then we set our faces aflint towards finding out exactly what that messenger had to say, what that prophet of Malachi 4 had to say. And when we talk about these things, the people, they shut us out, because the devil does not want mankind mm-hmm. to know about that mystery cloud. He does not want them to know about Brother Brennan. Nobody will teach it. Nobody will tell you about it. But see, God has wanted us out to protect and to hold on to the truth that we've been taught. That's the only thing that's left, the ministry of Brother Brennan, the ministry of Brother Jackson. See, we're not preachers. Mm-hmm. We're just here to hold up the things that was preached.
That's
and to
right.
tell people the day and the hour mm-hmm. we're living in. That's why we fight this mm-hmm. thing on three fronts.
We're not here for financial gain. We're not here to make money on the things that God has allowed us to see and witness in the day and hour that we've lived in. We're just making people aware what God has done for the Gentiles in the Laodicea church hour and beyond that, what he has done for the last 2,000 years. Because if we don't keep speaking it, the devil has a way of shutting out truth and it gets lost in it. Just like some little story gets lost in the news cycle sometimes, and it just because there's so much drama in the news cycle, then something important gets lost and forgotten about. That's why God has put us together, so that we keep upholding and lifting up the things that God has done in this Laodicea church hour. First and foremost, that he sent a prophet to turn us back to the faith of our fathers, to the early church. That's where that prophetic ministry turned us back to, and then it continued with Brother Jackson. And these were the men that had the authority, just like that song said, speak with authority. And they were men that spoke with authority, just like Jesus, when Jesus was here and the people were gathered around him, and they were actually astonished at the words that came out of his mouth, and they were astonished at his authority. He spoke with authority, not with like the teachers of the law and those scribes and the Pharisees that just recited things. No, he spoke with authority, and he knew what he was speaking, and he knew why he was speaking it. And we can still go back, and the words that Jesus spoke are still alive today. And it's the same way with Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. They spoke with authority, and they knew what they were saying, because it wasn't they themselves that were speaking. When that anointing overcomes and you speak what the Lord puts on you, that is that anointing, and that anointing comes straight from the throne of God. And that's why they had such authority, and that's why those two men are the men that carried us through the Laodicea church hour. And without that, you will not have on that revelation that's needed for your day and hour. And that's why God put us together, so that we can speak all those things that we witnessed and where God has brought us to, so that people can be aware of what God has done in this hour.
That's why we keep saying over and over again, if it wasn't for Brother Brandon, I wouldn't want to be live. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to have missed it. And all we're doing, we're introducing the people that have a hunger and a thirst. You got to get to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, because you and I, we're not preachers. All we're doing, we're holding on and expressing the things that Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson preached for 40 years. Brother Brenham preached for 40 years, then the Lord took over, and then Brother Jackson took over, and he preached for 40 years. And all we're doing, we're upholding the truth, because when you went to the Lord and you told the Lord, Lord, why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been kicked from pillar to post. We've been persecuted and terrorized and lied about. And the Lord spoke right into your spirit to preserve this truth, to preserve the truth that was brought to the vocal cord of Brother Branham and to the vocal cords of Brother Jackson. That's all we're doing. We're not preachers. We're just holding on and introducing to a lost and dying world the things that have been happening throughout the Grace Age, throughout the Church Age of Laodicea. That's all we're doing. And they put the package together, and all we're doing, we're preserving that. We're telling people exactly what happened for the Church Age of Laodicea. If it wasn't for you and I, it would just go to sleep. The devil will take it, and the people will just continue to fall asleep. And like it says in Revelation, the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk with the wine of that fornication. They need to be sobered up, and that's all we're doing. We're sobering the people up to what things we're saying.
And we're telling people exactly where we are in time. We're telling people what's happening, what's been going on, where we are in time. We're right now just ahead of us. It's the day of the Lord. And we're not using this as a scare tactic. We're just using it as a warning. And if we don't do it, it's not going to be done, because you and I, we're the only two people that knows where we are in time. Mm-hmm. You ask them out there, and they along comes these prophets, and they prophesy, and then it doesn't happen like this guy prophesied. The rapture will be in September 25th. Well, September 25th has come and gone, and it didn't happen. So, because we saw scripture in the Bible. He said, tongues shall cease, and prophecy will fail. So they can prophesy, and that scripture has been exactly 100% accurate, that prophecy that they prophesy failed. But the Word of God endured forever, but that's what you and I are doing. We're just holding on to the Word of God, because that end of the day, the Word of God will endure forever. And everything that we say in it, we're telling you exactly what that midnight cry was. We're telling you exactly where we are in time. If we would take time out, we could tell you exactly right to the day when that angel takes Satan and ties him in a chain and throws him into hell. And right after that, that's when the day of the Lord kicks in. For 30 days, the day of the Lord kicks in. Everything is spelled out over in the book of Revelation. And if you don't understand the book of Revelation, you're not going to be part of that bride. You're not going to be in that chamber. And you'll have to go out to hell and death with the multitude. Because the multitudes have become drunk with the wine of that religious fortification. Just that simple. And all we're doing, we're just trying to warn people and tell them where it's at. Because, like I say, without that ministry, we'd just be like everybody else, just groping out in the dark, not clueless where we are in time. And like I keep saying, if you don't know where you are in time, everything that we say here is just a bunch of gibberish. That's why it's so important that you believe what we're saying. And then you and your whole household will be saved. They'll all somehow, God will have a way, because God loves, as a family man. He loves that family structure, and he's trying to put it together. And if you don't accept it, well, then that whole family structure is going to be lost. It's going to go out to hell and death. Like we're telling you yesterday about the people that we rubbed shoulders with, the people that I had witnessed to. The Lord, let me go talk to such and such. Go talk to such and such. And that's been our mission, and we did it to the best of our ability. Just because they reject it, that doesn't mean that it's not true. And that's what we've been doing. That's our job. That's our job description. It's the only job description we have, and it's to tell the people where we are at times, to hold on to the things that we've been taught, and to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's our job, and we're doing it gladly. Now, there's nothing else to talk about. That's what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, and trying to get as many in these closing days of time as whosoever will.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever heareth, let him see come. Whosoever is athirst, let him see come. God always has always been rich and mercy for whosoever will. But people, they chose not to do it. They chose not to go down that path. They chose, back in the days of Israel, back in the Old Testament, they chose to go and worship these idols and these gods that couldn't see or hear. And that's the way it is today. People are worshiping these false religions. Back then it was called God, but here in the New Testament, they're called religion. That utterite religion is nothing but a false God. That amateur religion is nothing but a false God. He ain't going to do nothing. It's not going to deliver nothing for you. It's just a make-believe. It's just controlled by Satan. That Satan is the head of it. He runs that thing. And that's all we're doing. We're just trying to warn people. Take it or leave it, and if you take it, you'll be saved. You and your whole household will somehow will be saved. Somehow God will have a way of getting you there, and that's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's what matters. What matters here now is immaterial. But what happens at the end of the day, when that final day will come, and you'll be separated from the sheep and the goats, there's so much to talk about, but, you know, we sometimes talk over ourselves because there's so much to warn people from, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. We know we try to draw a picture to the best of our ability, but if you don't give the increase, and then it all goes to nothing. So we know you can Just speak in the hearts and the minds of people. You can open up their understanding. So we just pray, Lord, that you will enlighten them. And we just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.